Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
The root system of a tree is what holds it in place, keeps it stable, and provides strength and nourishment. Friend, how's your root system doing? Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we're going to study Rooted in Christ. Stay with us. If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every other part of your life is impacted negatively. Your root system is what holds you in place when storms come and trials and difficulty. Your root system is what draws nutrients into your life and provides spiritual strength and stability and hope. And friend, the Bible says we're to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and as we begin a new year, we're beginning with a new series, Rooted in Christ. I hope you'll take a moment to visit online, dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find on the website a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell that will help you become more rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ in the new year. You'll find links to lots of other resources that will help you to grow spiritually, and much more information about Pastor Chappell and his ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today our message is entitled Rooted in Christ's Wisdom. We're looking at James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Here's Paul Chappell.
It is always self who gets irritable and envious and resentful and critical and worried. It is self who is hard and unyielding in its attitude towards others. And so this is the earthly-minded man. Secondly, notice the second word. It is the word sensual. And it is a Greek word, psychikos. And this is an interesting definition. It speaks of the principles of animal life. So God says, I don't want your wisdom to be just, if it feels good, do it, you know. The devil made me do it. God says, I don't want you to live a sensual life. That's why so many people today are foregoing marriage and without coming before God and without saying their vows and without asking God's blessing on their family, they're just shacking up like the animal life in a sensual relationship. And God says, I don't want you to follow the world's wisdom. I don't want you to follow the Jerry Springer wisdom. I don't want you to follow the talk show wisdom that is earthly, that is sensual, that is just going with your feeling. I want you to acknowledge my wisdom that is from above. So we have three words, earthly and sensual. And thirdly, notice third word, devilish, devilish. Resembling or proceeding from an evil spirit. Now you think about that. How many crimes have been committed because of devilish wisdom in the hearts of men? How many have been raped? How much incest? How many times have people, just to be devilish, beaten someone? How many times because of people following the world's wisdom? And so you and I have been challenged that we should not believe every spirit. We should not fall into every situation, but we should try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Make sure that in your life, you are not devaluing the potential of the wisdom of God by becoming divisive and devilish and following after the same tactics of every other guy at the water cooler and every other lady on Facebook. Make sure that your life is not a devaluing life, but that you have an increasing value because you're walking in the wisdom of God. We see, first of all, the demonstration of godly wisdom. How do you see it? It's in the works of a man and the spirit of the man. We see the devaluation of wisdom is when we are divisive and when we are devilish. But notice thirdly with me this morning, and this is really the heart of the message, so stay right with me, the dignity of godly wisdom. How many of you this morning say, Pastor Chappell, If I could glorify God by walking in His wisdom, if I somehow, not of my own self, but by God's wisdom, could have a dignified Christian life, I would be thankful to God for that. Well, here's how that life is defined. And so follow with me in verse 17. I want everybody to find in your Bible James 3:17, or find it in your notes. James 3:17. I want you to read it with me now and read it out loud as we consider what the Word of God says. James 3:17. Ready? Begin. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. Now, how many of you are with me in saying this morning, I'd like to live my life that way? Pure, peaceable. I'd like to live a life that is gentle and easy to be entreated. Well, the way to do that is to first of all look back at the verse and notice what it says. The wisdom that is from where? Above. That's the other pool, ladies and gentlemen. The wisdom that is from above is not dirty. It doesn't contain parasites. It's not the kind of wisdom that's always cussing, always telling a dirty joke, always trying to rip somebody off. It's not that devilish kind of wisdom. It is the wisdom that is pure, like the pure Rocky Mountain water coming out of the glacial ice. It is pure, and it's something you can receive and something that will root you down in Christ and will bring a fruit that will honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2 and verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge of Christ. You see, it is by the wisdom of God that we can live out this life that is described in verse 17. So remember, if you think that you can bring the garbage of this world into your life and then bear this pure fruit, you're wrong. You've heard that little phrase before. Garbage in, say it with me, garbage out. All right? And everybody's kind of affected by the influences of this world. So, for example, you take someone at the mall, and maybe a younger person, and they're going to go to the Old Navy store, and Old Navy's playing, you know, just pulsing music, you know, and they're just boom, 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 pulsing music. And you see a guy walk in. He just looks like kind of a normal guy. He walks in. He's going to the store. He opens the door. He goes around. But 30 minutes later, after all of the pulsing music and after all of that, he walks out a totally different man, you know, just like that. Some people listen to just real heavy type of music and it causes them to become angry. And on the illustrations go. Garbage in, garbage out. Sometimes it can be the type of movie you watch or the type of books you read. But you'll become whatever you are taking in. So what we want to do every day this year, not just Sunday, is open up our heart and read the Word of God and say, God, I want the wisdom from above to come in so that it can come out of my life. And Lord, in this year, I want to live a pure life. And so notice that word in verse number 17. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. That's a great word, isn't it? Pure. In Costa Rica, there is a national saying, and it is pura vida. And they speak about the pure life. But you know, you cannot live a pure life without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. The word pure means pure from carnality and living with reverence. Let me tell you something. A wise man doesn't laugh at dirty jokes. A wise man doesn't tell them. A wise man doesn't enjoy a divisive conversation that's just filled with carnality. A wise man and woman do not get on Facebook or the internet and delve into the dark side. They are walking in a pure thought life, you see, because they have been feasting on the manna from above and the dignity of their life. I mean, a dignified man of God. And by the way, pastors are not the only ones that should desire to be a man of God. Every man in here should desire to be known as a man of God. Say, well, they might make fun of me at work. They might call me a deacon or a Baptist or this or that. Hey, I'd rather be called that than some other things. I don't mind being known, and you should not mind being known as a godly man, a pure man. And this is what the Bible says. A man that feasts on that manna from above is pure. Then notice, secondly, is peaceable. He's peaceable. He has a wisdom that brings peace to his life. Too many times, Christian marriages are filled with bickering. And too many times, teenagers are arguing with their parents. And too many Christians are just always upset with one another. And God says, when you begin to grow in my word, there's going to be a peace that comes into your life. Now, look in your notes there. I gave you three kinds of peace that every one of us need and that can only come from God. Not psychotherapy, only from God. Number one, you and I, through the Lord, can be at peace with God. Look just to the left. I think you'll see Romans 5:1. Look what it says. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are a little new to this thing, and the Baptist church even perhaps is a little new, and church in general. So look right here. Don't miss this part. We do not find peace with God through the church. Look at what that verse says. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's say that together. Peace with God through We don't get peace with God through the Baptist church, through the Catholic church, through the Presbyterian, whatever type of church. The way that you and I have peace with God is by way of the cross. And Jesus Christ, who was the perfectly sinless Son of God, he was born of the Virgin, he lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years, he went to the cross of Calvary, the Roman soldiers pierced his hands with nails, pierced his feet with the nails, and the spear was thrust through his side, and the crown of thorns placed upon his head, and when that blood came flowing down, it became the payment that can justify us for our sin. Confirmation, catechism, church membership, baptism cannot wash away my sin. What can wash away my sin? How can I have peace with God? By way of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing washes away sin except the blood of Jesus Christ. So you will not really know peace. You will not know how to live peaceably until you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so it is. We can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a second kind of peace there in your notes, and that is inner peace. Once you know the Lord, then you can bring your request to the Lord. And Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds. Now listen, I'm not saying that all counseling is unnecessary. Sometimes counseling is necessary. I'm not saying all medicine is unnecessary. Sometimes it may be necessary. But I'm saying that when you have Jesus as your Savior and when you are right with God, a lot of that becomes really unnecessary, and knowing the Lord fills the void. The peace that we can have with God in salvation and through God, through prayer. And then thirdly, we can have peace with others. We can live at peace with others. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, I heard about a mom who was trying to teach this to her children. She was cooking some waffles for them. She had two boys. She had Kevin and Ryan, 5 and 3, and they were fighting over who would get the first waffle. How many of you understand that's a worthy fight? Okay. And they're fighting away, and mom's kind of getting tired of them. She said, all right, boys, listen up. She said, if Jesus was here right now, Jesus would say, let my brother have the first waffle. And Kevin looked at Ryan and he said, okay, Ryan, you be Jesus. Now, a lot of us are willing to live peaceably if the other guy will do what we want him to do. But a man walking in wisdom can walk in peace even when other guys aren't doing what we want them to do. God says, my wisdom is, it's from above. You've got to open your heart and let it come in from my word. But it is pure. And it is peaceable, and notice thirdly, it is patient. God's wisdom produces patience in our lives. Now look at what the Bible says here in verse 17. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, and notice these characteristics now. It says here in verse 17, gentle and easy to be entreated and full of mercy. It is gentle, it is easy to be entreated. You can disagree agreeably with this person. And it is full of mercy. This person is not looking to settle a score. This person is not keeping a score. Sometimes in marriage counseling, I'll say, now tell me when this all began. And some ladies will say, well, it was about 7 years ago. And he forgot my birthday. And I'm like, 7 years ago? And somewhere along the way, the mercy fell to the side. But I want you to look at some of the most important verses in the Bible. Look here at Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And notice this now. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, is there someone at work that hasn't been the way you think they should be? Do you live with someone that's not the way you think they should be? Then you have an opportunity to be a man or woman of wisdom. And listen to me, wise people don't hold bitterness. They are patient and they are mercy showers. Now, I don't know if you've found this in your life. It's easier for me to show mercy to some people than to other people. I'll admit that. My grandchildren. The other day, Camden got up on my lap, and for some reason, he just reached over here on my cheek with his long, unclipped fingernails and just grabbed a pound of flesh. I mean, he just scratched right down. He had my skin under his fingernails. And I thought for just a minute, and I thought, oh, God bless you, you little grandson of mine. That was wonderful. I wouldn't have had that response toward some of you, I'll be honest with you. It's easier to forgive and be merciful to people that you really love. I heard about a grandmother who had a four-year-old grandson, and he kept coming up to her and saying, Grandma, I want lunch. She said, no, you want lunch. He said, Grandma, I want lunch. She said, you're going to have to say it right, say it correctly, or you're not going to have anything. He said, I want lunch. She said, you say it right. He looked at her and he said, Grandma, read my ips. Now, it's hard to look at someone like that and say, shut up, you dumb kid, because why? We love them and we have mercy for them. But when you walk in wisdom, you can show mercy towards people that aren't as cute or as loving, because it's not just dependent upon how sweet they are. It's about how godly we are, you see. And so we see that the wisdom that comes from above is pure, it's peaceable, it's patient. Notice fourthly, it's productive. It will produce good fruits. Notice in verse 17, it says, full of mercy and good fruits. And the word of Christ dwells in us richly with all wisdom. And then we produce from that psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we witness for Christ and we serve Christ because there is something within us called the wisdom of God that is very productive. And then notice finally about this particular wisdom that is from above. I want you to see that it is a pleasing wisdom. Now, I think it was Abraham Lincoln who first said that you can't please 100% of the people 100% of the time. And you're never going to please everybody. But you know what I've found is that a wise man can come into a situation and with the wisdom that comes from above can oftentimes help a situation so that there's a settling and there's a peacefulness. And notice what it says there in verse 17, without partiality and without hypocrisy. When there is a man or woman that you can call upon to say, we need this to be settled without hypocrisy, without partiality, we need it to be a pleasing situation to God and to the parties involved. It needs to be something that pleases the Lord. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That is the pleasing wisdom. It is the purity of love that produces that kind of wisdom. And so I want to ask you this morning, as we have studied today, the two pools of wisdom. I want to ask you, are you rooted in the world's wisdom or are you rooted in Christ's wisdom? And when you're rooted in the world's wisdom, there's going to be things that are sensual and devilish and divisive, and there's no harmony at home, and there's always some major flare-up going on in your life. But when you're rooted and grounded in Christ and His wisdom, there's purity and peaceableness, and there's patience, and there's productivity, and it all comes from your relationship and mine with the Word of God, you see. And that's why this theme this year is so important. Being rooted and grounded in Christ will affect every relationship and every decision of my life. That's why Proverbs 3:13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Now before I close, listen very carefully. Where does this wisdom walk begin? Where does this matter of walking as a wise man begin, a wise woman begin? There's a very important principle in the book of Proverbs I want you to see with me as we close. And in Proverbs 9:10, the scriptures say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Would you say that with me, please? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. It is an awesome, reverential respect. It is that which comes into a man's heart for the first time when he realizes, I am a sinner and I am lost and I am undone, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when he realizes that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And suddenly we stand in the presence of God and we realize, according to his word, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we hear, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And with that realization, we come to hear Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it begins to dawn on us again. It's not through the Catholic Church. It's not through the Lutheran Church. It's not through the Baptist Church. It's through Jesus Christ our Lord. And at that moment, some call it salvation, some call it being born again. But at that moment, when I realize I am undone, I am unclean, I am a sinner, I need Christ as my Savior, when a man or woman calls and asks Jesus to come into their life and be their Savior, when they have that reverential awe and trust for Jesus, at that moment of receiving Jesus, their wisdom walk begins. Because prior to that moment, men and women will tell you, I read the Bible, but it never made sense. I didn't even really know what it meant. But after that decision, they receive Christ, and the Spirit of God comes into their life, and this book comes alive, and they begin to walk in wisdom because now they're walking with Jesus as their Savior. And so I ask you this morning, has there been a time in your life when you received Christ as Savior and when you began that wisdom walk with Him? And I ask those of you that are saved, if you are saved and you have known what it means to walk in purity and peaceableness and you have had a life of productivity, let me ask you this. Have some of you been sneaking over here to the pool of this world's wisdom? Have some of you been letting some of the friends at work set your agenda? Have you been letting some gossip, some half-dressed, carnal, wicked thing on the internet over here in this wicked, dirty pool give you some counsel? You better get away from that pool and get over here to God's wisdom. Some of you are going to have to realize you're never going to get rooted this year if you're in the wrong pool. You've got to get the right kind of water at the root in order to have the right kind of fruit on the tree. And so I pray today that we would leave this place saying, Lord, I don't want that kind of wisdom that's devaluing. I don't want that devilish wisdom. I want that that is dignified. I want that that is pure. I want to be that man or woman that will bring glory and honor to your name. Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, I just praise you this morning for the power of the Word of God. And I thank you that you give us the wisdom and you show us the way. But Lord, we have to respond and follow that way. So I pray right now that you would touch hearts. Lord, I have tried to preach and teach your word this morning, but now I pray again that your Holy Spirit would show us and guide us and direct us.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying in this series, Rooted in Christ, how to develop a healthy and a strong root system through our relationship with the Lord and our study of His Word, how to become grounded and rooted and settled in our relationship with Him. Friend, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That relationship begins the moment you trust Him as Savior, the moment you place your faith in Him. And that happens when you call upon Him in belief and you say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and save me from my sin and save me from myself and give me your gift of eternal life. Friend, if you've never made that decision, we encourage you to make that decision right now. It's simple. It's vital. It's the greatest decision you could ever make. And if you have questions, we'd love to talk with you more about it. We do love to hear from listeners, and we enjoy hearing your feedback and knowing that our program is touching your life. There's a couple ways you can get a hold of us. First of all, by toll-free phone number. That is 1-800-201-7748. 1-800-201-7748. Or you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. When you visit the website, you can click on the link to email us. or get a hold of us. We would love to hear from you. You'll also find many resources that will help you in your spiritual growth and in your relationship with Christ. Many resources that will help you do exactly what we're talking about in our present series, to become rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, you're invited to the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through 16th, 2014. Join Pastor Chapel and guests and friends from all over the country for a week of tremendous Bible teaching and preaching, Christian fellowship, wonderful music, and the beauty and grandeur of Alaska's Inside Passage. You can find out more information about the cruise or reserve your place when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, that's the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.